This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Today I want to study with you a passage found in the 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 16, verse 22, where the Apostle Paul says, "If any man love not the Lord, let him be anathema." Now this passage makes clear that in order for us to be pleasing to God, we must love Him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we learn, "We love because He first loved us." In other words, the love that a human being has for God Almighty and for His Son, Jesus Christ, is a response to the love which God has for us. A person has to learn about God's love for him and how it was manifested itself in the gift of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, that God did not spare the greatest thing of all, the gift of His Son. Now, our love for God, then, is a response to His love for us, as we find in what might be well termed the golden text of the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, God loves us, and in return, He demands that we love Him. God isn't going to force someone to go to heaven who doesn't love Him, who doesn't want to be with Him. And even the fact that God is God means that He cannot tolerate our sin. We must respond to Him in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, in repentance, in love, and in obedience. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 makes clear that without faith we cannot please God. And Jesus made clear in John 8:24. That unless we believe in Him as the Son of God, then we shall die in our sins. So God does make demands of us. Even though He offers to save every one of us, as Titus chapter 2 verse 11 tells us, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And as the Apostle Peter made clear in 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 and 10, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It certainly is clear that God loves every one of us and wants every one of us to be saved, and yet we know that according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that few will be saved and many will be lost. It is therefore clear that we must love Him. There's something for us to do. It isn't merely by grace. If men were saved by grace only, if that were the only factor, then everybody would be saved. But since there is something for man to do in his response to the grace of God, and since men do not respond in the way God wants them to, at least not all men do, then some will be lost and some will be saved. And so there are various questions that we need to ask ourselves, and among these is this: do I really love God? If so, how can I determine it? How does God test our love? I want to suggest, first of all, that God tests our love by the fact that we cannot see Him physically. I cannot look at God with my physical eyes. I cannot hear Him with my physical ears. I cannot touch Him with my physical hands, and so on. We have to live a life of walking by faith and not by sight. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In John chapter 1 verse 18, the Apostle John declared that no man has seen God at any time. And so we must live our lives with confidence in His testimony. To live a life of faith is to live a life of taking God at His word. As we read in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, that Abraham wavered not through unbelief, but was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's what it means to live a life of faith. A life of being willing to take God at His word. And the only way we can do that is to learn what the Bible teaches. We cannot simply invent a plan of salvation. We cannot invent a church, though I realize that many men have invented plans of salvation, and they have invented churches, and they have invented ways of worship. But one must respond to God by having confidence in His revelation and living according to that teaching.